Assalamu alaikum and peace. Welcome to this episode of Misconception. In our studio today we have with us Sheikh Yusuf Estes. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam, Muhammad. How are you today?
How are you? We also have in our studio today our studio audience. Assalamu alaikum. Today, inshallah, we're going to talk about the subject of extremism or fundamentalism. Now, Sheikh, extremism or fundamentalism, what does it mean?
These are topics that we're hearing a lot. You hear it in the media. The politicians are throwing it around. Preachers are saying these things. Also, we're finding this coming from the websites, a lot about that, trying to make some connection here with religion and these two words. But before we go any further, why don't we poll the audience here and see if they've got some input for us.
Right.
Brothers, can you tell them?
How can we define fundamentalism?
How do we define it? All right, there's a good place to start.
Yeah, yeah.
Fundamentalism, usually for the Christian, they're understanding fundamentalism from their own background. There were fundamentalists at a time when people were getting away from their what they believed to be their main religion of Christianity. And then those who called them back to the very base of the whole thing, to the fundamental, most important and relevant topics. Let's go back to early Christianity. Let's look and see what we have, what we should do, and get away from some of the maybe modern concepts or things that they were getting into at that time. So there was a call to go back to the fundamentals of the religion. Let's go back and practice that. And this is still today called the fundamentalist church. You'll find a reference to that amongst the Baptists, especially they like that term, fundamentals and fundamentalism, for them, and that's what it relates to. But when we start to talk about it from the point of view of Islam, well, we've got a problem. We've got a very big problem.
What problem would that be?
Because if we say fundamentalism, then we've got to really ask ourselves a question, as opposed to what?
Okay.
So we'll give our audience another chance. What else have you got?
What is exactly extremism?
Okay, extremism.
Extremism, yeah. So. Is there a difference?
And again, we can go back and look at religion from the Christian point of view, and they would say extremism would be something that doesn't fit the norm, something that's way out there. Let's take, for example, you have some Christians who refuse to use modern facilities, believing that somehow that this is getting away from their religion. There are the Amish, and there are the Mennonites, who will abstain from modern transportation. Now, some of them are going over to that now. They're going to tractors to plow with, and a car to go to town, or a truck to go to town in. But for the most part, a lot of them, especially when I was growing up in Ohio, if you can imagine, Ohio and Pennsylvania, Indiana are famous for these people, especially out in the country, of course. That's where they live, out in the farmlands. And they had their little buggies and their horse, and they would go to town, and they even have signs along the road, watch out for these guys in these buggies.
Okay.
And they even put the safety thing in the back of it with reflective tape and so on. So some of the people would consider them extreme because they don't want to accept electricity, indoor plumbing, so they have to go outside to use the facility. They have a special problem in the winter time. If you imagine what you'd be up against going through the snow and everything just to relieve yourself. So some would call that extremism. But then there are others, such as the Anabaptists, who don't even get married. They carry this to a big extreme, because now, if you stop and think about it, if everybody that's in there is not going to get married, then how can you continue to propagate that religion? And the only way they can do that is to recruit. Mm.
Recruit new members.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the only way. Now, for us, what do we see as extremism? Actually, we have an answer for that in Islam. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, used the word wasta. Wasta.
Wasta.
And I think you know the meaning of this word. What would you? How would you translate this word wasta?
Wasta would be something like in the middle, or recommendation.
Yes. So the most recommended, easy, logical path would be not to the extreme right,
that way, or
nor to the extreme left, but down the middle. And this is what Islam is calling for, an ummah or nation, which is wasta, ummatan wasatan, to be wasta, in the middle way. So much so that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, condemned those who went to extremes. Those who he was very clear about, who would ignore the right that Allah has on us for worship. Allah wants us to worship him alone. And he wants us to worship him his way, what he's told us is worship, not to make up something. So one of the things that we have is salah. We're supposed to do salah how many times a day?
5 times a day.
At least 5, right?
At least, yeah.
5 is minimum. So the one doing that is in good shape. But where should the men do their salah? In the masjid. They should, if they're able, go to the mosque and pray there. So much so that he once said about those who don't come and pray, those who refuse to come, he said, I wish I could just go to their house and put firewood on them and burn them up in there because they don't respond when they hear the call. Obviously, this is not to be taken in a violent way, but to show you how much he really is warning us, because if you don't pray, you could wind up in the fire of hell. So this is a very important subject about being extremely lax in how you don't take care of your prayers or any other part of Islam. The one who doesn't fast the month of Ramadan is very serious. It means he wouldn't, maybe he will not be forgiven by Allah for his many sins. He might have to go to hell again. So, and that's definitely not what we're after as Muslim. Now, on the other side, let's go to the other side of it. Suppose somebody said, okay, wow, I understand I must fast. Okay, and I definitely don't want to play around with girls because that could also get you into hellfire. And I sure am going to do my prayers. I don't want to leave that. So let's go look what happened.
Okay.
Some men came and entered Islam. There were 3 of them. They entered into Islam. And the Prophet's wife overheard them talking. And one of them, he was very excited to become a Muslim. And he said, you know what? I'm going to pray all day and all night. I'm not going to sleep. I'm just going to keep standing and praying and standing and praying. I'm not going to take even a break. And the next one said, and me, I'm going to fast every single day. Not going to eat, not going to drink every single day for the rest of my life. And then the next one he said, and me, I'm never going to get married. All of them are saying this because they want to use their time all in the devotion of Almighty God. Here's an ayah that some people might understand the wrong way and think it meant exactly what these guys are saying. It says in Surah 51, verse 56, Al-Dariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبَدُونَ. Now, what does that mean? Well, in English, we translate it that Allah says, I did not create jinn and mankind except to worship. So they say, well, okay, if that's the case, then I will worship God all day and all night. I will fast every single day.
I won't get
married. And I'll never get married, because that would be a huge distraction and so on. So when the wife of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, narrated this story to him about these 3 gentlemen, these 3 Muslims, he became angry. He became so upset. And why do you think he was upset? Because of what? Extremism. Look what he said. I'm more in a position to interpret what's Islam to the people. I'm saying it in the meaning of what he meant. Than they are. I'm the one, as the Muslim, given instruction of what a Muslim is. Yet look at me. I do pray, but I sleep. He means he gets up in the night and he does worship Allah in extra prayers. But still, I sleep. So I pray and I sleep.
Do you have to?
What kind of prayers would it be if you didn't sleep?
Exactly.
And then he said, and I fast and I eat. Let's break it down a minute. It's known from the companions and his wives that sometimes he would fast so much every day, they thought he was always going to fast. And then suddenly, he would stop. And then he wouldn't fast for so many days, they'd say, well, maybe he's never going to fast. So sometimes he fasted, sometimes he didn't. And then there's a very famous type of fasting called the fasting of Dawood, the prophet David, peace be upon him, which is to fast every other day. So you have a day to relax, enjoy, and another day to fast. But by the way, for those who don't know this, we're only fasting in the daylight hours. We're not going 24 hours without food or drink. That's not healthy, it's not wise, and it's not Islam. That would be extremism. Yes. Let's go to the last one now about having a wife. And he said, and I get married. And so with this, we understand, whoa, wait a minute. He's getting married, and he even had more than one wife, which we're going to talk about in some of our other programs. But for sure, this shows us that we have to have a balance. We are not extremists one way or the other. We are the Ummatan Wasitan.
Ummatan Wasitan. Okay, we're going to go for a quick break, and inshallah, when we return, we'll get back with Yusuf Estes on the same subject, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to our show. This is the second half of Misconceptions with Yusuf Estes. Extremism and fundamentalism. We are talking about extremism, Sheikh. So what was the last definition we were talking about?
Yeah, what we said is that extremism is when somebody goes way out, either to the right, to the left, to the up, to the down, but they're not in the middle path anymore. And this would be against the teachings of Islam. We find in the Quran that we are the balanced nation, that we are to be calling to what is good and forbidding evil, yes, but not to go to such extremes that we would be perceived as crazy, doing weird things. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave us the definitive answer in his own saying, where he said that when it comes to eating and sleeping, when it comes to the normal things of life, he said, although I do pray, I still sleep. Mm-hmm. Although I do fast, I still eat. There are days when he eats and drinks. And also I get married. I have wives.
What other examples of extremism, I guess modern extremism in Islam, can we talk about?
Well, one of the things that, of course, is associated with extremism is when people spend all of their time inside the mosque.
Yeah.
Like he won't come out of the mosque. He just stays there and stays there. Now, there is something in Islam called itikaf. Itikaf means to stick to something where you don't leave it. And to stay in the masjid during the month of Ramadan for a period of a few days, even 10 days, this is actually a good thing because it gives you a chance to get away from the worldly things. But it's only for a few days. It is not like staying there your whole life or even half the month every month. It's just wrong. Mm. It isn't what Islam is about. Also, when a person spends their time contemplating Allah all the time, this is extreme. Although we would like to be able to worship Allah like that, we're not built like that. And Allah didn't really intend for that, or else He would have made our Prophet do it, because He's our example, and He didn't do that.
Yeah.
Now, to remember Allah and the things that we do, like when we begin to eat, we say Bismillah. When I get ready to go on a journey, I say Bismillah. When I put on clothes, I can say Bismillah. There's nothing wrong. But if you said, okay, I'm going to put my right arm in, Bismillah, I'm going to put my left arm in, Bismillah, put my right leg in, Bismillah, and I'll tie my shoe in, Bismillah, and go out the door with a Bismillah, shut the door with a Bismillah, and walk in there, because all of a sudden you're turning it into rap music or something, you know, Bismillah, and a rock man. And it's not right because the Prophet didn't do it. And there's nothing in Islam teaching us to do it. Now some people, they say, well, you should mention Allah in all that you do. Yeah, initially when you start something, you mention Allah's name, but not through the whole thing. Could you imagine? He picks up his screwdriver and he's going to turn screw. Allah, 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 Allah. Rahman, 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 Rahman. What is that? What is the benefit there? Again, if you didn't find it from Muhammad doing it, he's telling you, I'm the example for you. And they didn't do these things like that.
Yeah.
So it's not in Islam for people to be extreme.
So we're talking about extremism from a Muslim's point of view. A non-Muslim, how do they perceive extremism?
Oh, well, I'm not going to speak for non-Muslims what they believe, but what we hear from them, I might say that. They're saying extremism, look at these guys, they pray five times a day.
Yeah.
Well, we know that the fundamentals of Islam call for this. We must believe in Allah, His angels, His messengers, His books, the day of judgment, and the predestination. That's the fundamentals of belief. You leave one out, you're not a Muslim. Now, when it comes to the actions, we have five pillars or fundamentals in action to say the Shahada, that I believe there's only one God and Muhammad is His messenger, perform the five daily prayers, fast the month of Ramadan, pay the charity, the poor do, zakat, and to perform the Hajj, right? Now, those five things comprise the essence of what Muslims must do. And also, although not mentioned here, is to call to right and forbid evil. This also is a part of being a Muslim. So if somebody said, well, you could leave one of those out, they wouldn't even be a Muslim. So these are the fundamentals. Now, another thing that's not mentioned here, but it's understood by calling to good and forbidding evil, is to dress properly, for instance. Dressing properly is a very critical part of Islam, because you must not go out in public without being covered up,
yeah.
Man or woman. There's a different area covered for men than it is for the women, but it's still mandatory for being covered up.
Yeah.
It's not optional. So after we understand these things, we begin to understand, okay, there is something here called the fundamental, and then there's something that's extreme. Now, if a woman went out totally covered up, head to toe, and can't even see where she's going, right? And start falling down because she can't see, something like this, and she said, I don't even want my eyes to be seen, something like, you know, and I've seen that. And they're falling into over and bumping into stuff. That could start getting extreme, okay? But at least make some way that she can view what's happening, and now she gets, can't pick up any groceries, can't do anything because her hands, she's got this big blanket over. So she'd have to extend her hands through that. She'd have to be able to do something. The same for the man. If he said, well, I'm going to wear this big robe all the time and it's not practical, it gets caught in machinery, things like that. So it doesn't make sense. So this is where people will say, this is extreme.
How do we as Muslims, Shaykh, inshallah, achieve that wasta? I think a lot of people go to the extreme just to achieve the basics sometimes. How do we get to that wasta? How do we achieve it?
One of the things that's important is to study Islam and learn it from people who are balanced themselves, but yet they know the Arabic and they know the real Islam. And that's what I do. I go to these people and I ask questions. And I ask them very clear, and I ask it again to be sure they understand how I meant the question, and give them the conditions that go with it. Then I listen carefully to what they say, and then I ask them about what they mean, because they're speaking to me in Arabic. I want to be sure I understood how they use the words and how to put it in here as a formula so that I can convey it to myself, to my family, and to others. That's very important. Mm-hmm. I think at this stage what I'd like to do is see if we've heard from our audience. Anybody else have something?
Orthodox.
Ah, that's a very good topic to bring up right now. Sometimes people confuse orthodox and fundamentalism, because in the church, again, we'll go back to the Christian church, orthodox, this was when people were trying to go back to something that they considered to be correct as opposed to incorrect or innovations, etc. And so there are those who claim orthodox Islam or Muslim orthodoxism or something like this, when in fact we don't have to go back and look for something else to try to compare to, because we already have everything in Islam preserved. The Quran and the Sunnah, the teachings of Muhammad and the Quran are already there. They're in the Arabic language and very clear for us. And so we don't need to pretend to go back to something else or because it's always been there. Anybody else have anything?
What is secularism?
Secularism, another good topic to enter in right here. It's perfect. Yeah, secularism, this is supposedly the opposite of religion. This is where, let's just go for the civil side of it. Some of these words are actually taken from Latin. And when you go back to the Latin, you'll find a whole world out there of what happens between religion and politics, because they mix them together in the universal church, that if you wanted to be a member of society as a citizen in the Latin Roman government, you had to be a member of their church. Even though you could believe in other gods, but you had to be in their church, which is based on a triune government. And that church was called the Universal Church of Rome. Do you know how to say that in Latin? Catholic. That was the name of their church even 300 years before Jesus. So I just throw that in.
What's the triune church, Sheikh?
Catholic Church.
It is a Catholic Church.
And they took over one sect of Christianity in 325 A.D. That's on their website, by the way. Now, how do I deal with this, though? Because people are asking me about these questions and what should be my response. And we talk about it in our other programs. And they come at you, why are you an extremist? Why are you a fundamentalist? What's this Orthodox stuff? Why don't you become secular? Things like this. Then our response is still going to be the same as always, which is what? What do I say? Thank you for asking me about my religion. Islam is based on truth, and I have to tell you the truth. We have the Quran and we have the teachings of Muhammad preserved in Arabic. There's no question about it. We don't have to go, well, maybe this, maybe that manuscript, or maybe an older version. No. It's there. We understand it. So you can check it. But by the way, while I'm giving you the answer, if you find what we have is better than what you have, are you ready to consider a move? And if so, we'd like to help you with it. Now, what's the answer? The answer is we are the Ummatin Wasitan. We must be in the middle road. We have to be ready to accept innovations in our material world around us every day, but never innovations in our religion. Simple as that.
Alhamdulillah. So can we quickly sum up fundamentalism, extremism, and orthodoxy? Just before we go, kind of the differences.
Well, fundamentalism and extremism, we are definitely supposed to follow the fundamentals of Islam. And at the same time, not be so strict on it that we frighten people away. Allah says in the Quran that He didn't make our religion difficult. It is not a difficult religion, and you shouldn't make it difficult. Not for anybody. But as you understand Islam, you follow what you understand, step by step to the best of your ability. That's all you'll be asked about. But when the people begin to get tough on you and say, okay, your pants have to be a little bit shorter, a little bit longer, your beard is too short or too long, and you're this and you're that, and so these people are not really helping you, they're picking on you. To help someone is to show them what they've done right, and encourage them in the areas where they're not right.
They need work.
Give positive affirmation to what good somebody's doing, and then to the areas where they're lacking, you want to help them with it. What can I help you with today? And if he says, I don't want any help today, then what does he mean? Leave me alone. I'm not ready to move to another step yet. But when I am, hey, I'll call you. And that is how I deal with the ones who come at me with this quote-unquote super fundamentalism and want me to do this or that or the other. I say, if you show me that it's Islam, I will try to move through that as quick as I can. But at the same time, I have to remember I'm a human being. There are certain things that humans need time for. And Islam did not come all at once, like a shock in the night. It didn't come like a lightning bolt on the people. It came over a period of time, and each person was able to adjust accordingly. And so we want to remember that. That Islam is for all people, all places, all time, in the middle road.
Middle road, the wasta.
The wasta.
Okay, well, we've run out of time once again. I thank you again, Yusuf Estes, for being here. I thank our studio audience. It's been a great session, extremism and fundamentalism. Thank you very much for being here. I'm your host, Muhammad Hashim. Thank you for listening to Misconceptions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you ask me who my prophet is, I will say, haven't you heard? His name is Muhammad, a mercy to the worlds, a mercy to the worlds. If you ask me who my enemy is, I will say, don't you know? If you ask me who my enemy is, he's that same old devil, that same old devil.